And welcome. I'm Frank Rush, along with Territ Mayor Duke Bennett joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Haven't talked in a while. Good to have you in. So let's discuss some of the things that are going on. I guess the biggest thing that's been in the news most recently is the sewage treatment plant. It seems like the city of Terre Haute is really, for the past several years, one of the main topics has been, when we flush, where does it go? there's lots of federal government rules and stuff, and everybody has what they think they know about this. So where do we pick up at? We've upgraded the plant. Doesn't smell down there.
Nope.
I think it's pretty good as far as that goes.
It's very good.
A lot of people not happy that their rates have gone up.
Yeah. Maybe understand that.
And maybe it was because they were too low to begin with for a lot of long time. Mm-hmm. So now what's the next big issue here with the treatment plant?
So really, we're outside of the treatment plant now. The next phases of the things we're doing are outside of the plant. We did a tremendous, very large upgrade, new technology. Right now we have one of the most state-of-the-art plants. So now what our focus is on is how do we capture a lot of the stormwater outside of the plant and then send it to the plant later for treatment before it goes back into the Wabash River. It's all part of our long-term control plan. So we have to reduce the amount of dirty water that goes into the river when we have a rain event. That's kind of the bottom line.
Now, see, I was kind of thinking that that was a big problem was stormwater runoff increased the flow to the sewage plant to the point where that was something we were trying to eliminate, because in a perfect world, the two are separate.
They are separate. Well, and what you got to keep in mind is we have a combined system in Terre Haute.
Right. So the sewer, I said, in a perfect world,
the rainwater goes
be.
Into the sewer line, and then it works its way to the plant. And when the sewer collection system fills up, then it overflows into the river. So there's a couple things we've done. When we did the plant upgrade, we increased its capacity by about 40%. So we can take 40% of that water that used to overflow. But we can't do that yet until we kind of do these next two pieces. So phase two of our long-term control plan is a new lift station, which pulls all that stuff into the plant. It's just a giant pump, a $25 million pump. And so when the water gets into our sewer collection system, we pull it down to the plant, treat it, return it. So the plant's bigger and it can handle more, but the pipe getting it into the plant needed to be expanded.
Okay.
So we've done that. Now we're getting ready to do the pump to pull the water through. And then we also have a high-rate treatment facility that's down there behind the old IP property that we've got half of it installed, and we're going to build the second half to it. What happens with that is, big rain event, where you get an inch and a half or 2 inches of rain in a 24-hour period, all of our systems still can't handle that. We can clean all the solids out of the water and treat it with UV and return it back to the Wabash River. That's much more acceptable to the EPA than just letting it go into the river as dirty water. And so it gives us more alternatives to reduce that really bad water going into the Wabash River. So our choices are, we had to get the plant done because we needed to be able to handle the extra load. Now we're working on the outside on a collection side to take care of that water to send it to the plant, just to keep it simple.
And all of this is not really anything that we're doing just because we feel like we want to.
No, gosh, I wouldn't want to do any of this. I mean, I'm not saying any of it. I'm all about having a clean river, too. I get it. The Wabash River is the cleanest it's been, I'm told, in the last 60 or 70 years. I mean, it gets better all the time.
Right. Of course, that's because a lot of the industry that used to be along the river
is
gone.
And the EPA has just cracked down on everybody about people used to dump in the river. They just had a pipe that went to the river, and whatever they had, their waste product was going in the river. And that's all changed. And these days, it's the farm fields that add more, contaminants to the river, fertilizer and herbicides and all those things, because, a lot of the old factories are gone, and they make cities clean it up. They don't let this dirty, sewer water get into the river. And so if we didn't have to do all this, though, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have raised sewer rates, but we've kicked the can down the road for so many years. It finally caught up with us that the EPA says you have to do this. And so that's what we've been faced with. What you mentioned earlier is exactly true. Our sewer bills were so low, nobody even really noticed them. They paid them. They were $12 a month, $14 a month.
Yeah.
Now we got about almost half of the people in the city pay a minimum bill, which is $28 a month. Our average bill is about $48 a month. That's still much lower than most municipalities in Indiana.
There are a lot of folks, and this will always be a problem for a very long time. I just want to touch on this briefly, but for those that pay a flat sewage rate because they don't have municipal water, mm-hmm. Indiana American Water. So there's no real way for you or anybody to judge how much they're putting right. to the sewage plant. So they just play a flat rate, which a lot of folks say isn't fair, because if they don't use it a lot, I mean, is there an answer to that to be more fair that we can do?
We looked at a lot of different ways that people do it in Indiana. That was our primary focus when we researched that. And most places use an average. And so the people in Terre Haute who have a well, so, and we don't know how much water it is, but we know that the average bill is about $48 now. They're charged $47, I think, for that. Yeah. And so I get that when it's a single person, you know, maybe an elderly person, maybe they've lost their spouse or whatever, they're living in a house all by themselves. Well, you know, they're a minimum user.
Sure.
And so they're probably paying too much. But then on the other hand, you've got so many people moving into houses anymore where people are moving back in with mom and dad. You know, you get grandma and grandpa in the house because of a variety of reasons. You may have 5 or 6, 7 people living in a house. And so they're using a tremendous amount of water. Well, they're not paying enough. And so that's always that kind of a funny place you get where you don't really know what the answer to that question is. We're going to continue to look at that when we do our next rate study. And we're probably going to start that sometime next year to kind of look at where we're at. And we want to take a look at those well users again and just see if maybe we need to make some other adjustments there.
Looks like the convention center is definitely on now. Uh-huh. It's going to happen.
Yes, it is. And we've always needed it. And I think our studies have shown that the community support's been tremendous. We've had, you know, there's always a few people that don't want to spend any tax money on things, and I get that. But I've had a tremendous reception for it, that they think it's a wise thing to do. Well, until we got the food and beverage tax, we really couldn't take that next big step to kind of really go into the formal design, because we needed that. That money needed to come in to help move this thing along, so we knew we had all the revenues in place that we needed to build it and operate it. And so now we're able to, we've hired some official contracts with some folks to help us go look at some things, update our marketing study since ISU is no longer a part of that, looking at some utility relocation downtown, best place to put it, all those things. And so the engineer that we've hired, the construction firm or the construction management firm, the architectural firm, will help us work through that and make sure we make the right decision about where to put it at the least cost for the project.
So
we're moving. So I think what I would say is I think the schedule's a little aggressive that we put out the other day. I was a little concerned about that, but we're moving along as quickly as we can. And when we get to the point of ready to make a decision to move this forward, then I'll feel really good about that.
So where's it going to go?
Downtown.
Okay. And that's a pretty good area.
We're looking at a couple of sites. You know, there isn't a lot of vacant land downtown.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. And it needs to be, because let's face it, we've had a lot of people say parking's not a problem downtown. Well, it might be if you actually want to put a lot of people into a convention center. So, and we've had 2 parking garages that the city built downtown and have since been sold.
Yes.
One of them is now under private ownership and the other one belongs to ISU. And for better or worse, most people are convinced nowadays that if I can't see where I'm walking to, then it's going too far.
Yeah.
So we need parking downtown to handle this convention center. So you need a place to build the center. You need a place to build the parking garage. So where's it going to go? Because you're right. There's not a lot of available space.
Well, we're looking at a couple of different locations very close to Holman Center. So you can just kind of envision all that. But, you know, some of it's owned by some private folks, some own from a, more of a public perspective. So we'd have to kind of piece some things together here, but it would be the convention center and a third hotel and at least one parking garage that would be co-located with the convention center and hotel. That's kind of what our vision is right now. That's kind of what we've got on our paper. The thing is, how do you make it fit into the spaces that are available or you can acquire? And then plus, as I mentioned earlier, the utility stuff, that's always a project problem, because downtown you've got sewers, you've got major Duke Energy trunks coming down to feed the whole downtown area. You've got water, you've got joint, you've got all these different pieces.
You've got some major underground tunnels down there from way back at the turn of the last century.
So all those things are a part of where you place this, how much is it more is it going to cost you to put it here versus over here? So that's kind of what we're working through, kind of to eliminate some locations and hone in on a final spot where we can then share that with the public.
So does it really make sense to put it downtown? Why don't we put, I mean, the east side's growing pretty big. Uh-huh. There's lots of open space out there. The airport's there nice and close for anything that you'd want to fly in. Mm-hmm. Why don't we want to go there?
Downtown's or really any place the best place for a convention center. And most places have them downtown only because your goal is to bring people to Terre Haute, in our case.
Yeah.
And they got to have some things to do when they're not in the convention. So in the evenings, or they come a day early, whatever, our museum's downtown. We've just got a really an opportunity here to turn this into more of a tourist kind of a thing. Yeah. And just to mention that, this year, 2018, we're going to hit about the $40 million mark for tourism in Terre Haute. We've never had that kind of an income to the community. Mostly small businesses benefit from that. But with the air show coming in, we're going to push that $40 million over that $40 million mark. And people don't think about Terre Haute from a tourism perspective. They never really have. There's some things to come and see.
Especially the people that live here and know what's here.
Yeah, you know, they just don't think of it like that. Yeah. And things have been changing for a long time. And so we're hopeful that placing it downtown, it puts it close to Indiana State University, which is a huge asset to help draw conventions. It's just like with Indiana University and Bloomington, same kind of a scenario. They're expanding their convention center over there because of that kind of relationship you have with the university. But just all the destinations that we're creating with Wabashiki just across the river, the museums, and a variety of other amenities, it's a perfect fit for that downtown area. You know, the east side, I can understand that, but I still think that downtown is, you know, without any question in my mind, it's the best place to put it.
City budget looking better, I
guess. Looking really good.
So are we out of the woods for 2019?
Oh, absolutely. We're out of the woods now. And you know what? What I really need now is put some money back. We need to kind of build our savings account.
Right.
So we don't have to do any borrowing. But we've had three straight years of balanced budgets. The budget, our 2019 budget, will be balanced again. And, you know, we're past that. We still got some things that we need to tweak, but it's really fun stuff we're getting into now, the good stuff where we're not worried about, you know, how are we going to pay for this or how are we going to deal with that. Now I'm kind of trying to figure out what our reserve levels should be. And so when we get through next year, we're going to be, I mean, next year's going to be good, but every year after that, so it's going to keep getting better.
Have we paid back all that we've borrowed, or will we soon have that all paid back?
Well, we borrowed, there's a couple different things. I'm not sure which
We've borrowed from, you know, a couple of entities, you know, like the
Redevelopment Commission.
Yeah,
we borrowed $5 million from them, and we paid all that back in June, and we're going to borrow $2 million here at the end of the month to carry us through the rest of the year, which it's our money. It belongs to the city. We're just having to do that legally.
But people are constantly bringing up the shuffling.
Oh, I know. But, you know, every community does that. That's what cracks me up. They act like Terre Haute's doing something unique. Indianapolis does this 100 times our level.
Yeah.
But every community, large community, does that because resources are limited. Revenues have been limited because of the property tax caps. This year, including 2018, the city of Terre Haute's lost $106 million in revenue because of the property tax caps that we would have collected. Right. So we all know the caps are there now. We've had to find other creative ways to work through this. And so we borrowed $5 million. We paid it all back. It's all been paid back. Later this month or first of next month, we're going to borrow $2 million. We're going to pay that back. And then next June, we shouldn't have to borrow any more from them. We should be whole. The tax anticipation warrant we do every year, we borrow in January and pay it back in December. So it doesn't even really hit our books. It just helps us with cash flow. And so then the only other debt that we owe anybody to is the county bought one of our bonds for the wastewater treatment plant, which they're getting twice the interest rate they would have had of money sitting in the bank. So they made an investment in us, and we're accelerating that payback.
One of the other quick things I want to get to in just a couple of minutes we've got left, the one thing that I think everybody's looking forward to on the near south side of town, that overpass.
Uh-huh. I just went down and looked at it last night, actually, and it's looking great. People are just, they were so frustrated that we've talked about it for 50, 60 years, whatever, and missed a lot of opportunities to get it built when there used to be earmarks. That would have been the time to do it. Could have got a federal earmark, probably paid for the whole thing. We had to save up our own money. And so $15 million worth of 9 years of my working hard, because I wanted to get it done. Now we're starting to talk about another one on the north side of town. So we're going to get that one done, get it open, hopefully around the first of the year or a little after, depending on how the rest of the season goes. And then we're going to start talking about one in that 13th and 8th Avenue area. So we can continue to find ways to get over and under the railroads.
Okay. And two other quick things. Uh-huh. Number one, when do we start moving dirt for the police station.
I will hope to announce something about that this fall, our financing package. I don't know if we'll get started this fall or the spring, but it'll be soon.
Okay. And the second thing is you're actually trying to talk to people a little bit more. You're actually doing your own Facebook page. Welcome to social media.
Well, I had one for my campaign, but then I've never really had one for the city. We've had, you know, cities had stuff, but we're really trying to,
for the mayor's office,
you know, and you just need to do that because even though I don't really like social media, to be perfectly honest with you,
I don't either, but
it's a lot
pain of people,
in the butt,
but a lot of people live on
a lot of, absolutely. You just see them. I mean, I see people on Facebook all the time looking at their phone. And so that's where they get their news from. So we felt like we were not completely.
There are those of us that still believe they get it from the radio.
You know what I mean? No dig on the local media here. But a lot of people, they get those feeds. Somebody presents something from a radio or TV, you know, or the Tribune Star. They post something out there. And so that medium is very important. And we needed to do a better job there. And so I feel really good about what we're doing. We're just getting started with that. I'm kind of feeling it out. I've got somebody kind of helping us with that, a part-time person. And our goal is to communicate as much relevant information to the public as we can.
All right, Terry Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us this weekend. I'm Frank Rush.